Boomer in the Morning is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
You know, it's a good day when Matty Rose is in here singing at 7:06 a.m.
Whoa.
Oh, boy, we got a lot of mouths. Everybody's... Ooh. Congrats to Bob Marshall.
Thanks.
Good on you, Bob.
Hey there, Bob. Congrats. Now, there's a little bit of controversy, but...
Controversy?
Yes, because you go back to the overtime of that particular Memorial Cup final.
Uh-huh. And
looked like Jeff Smith got the goal, but it was credited to Doug Lynch. Congrats to Bob. Bob had one of many, actually, who had the correct answer.
So that'd be Bob.
Someone will be in touch with you, get you set up for the parade coming up on the 8th of July. I believe that's the date.
Sure.
Don't go there on the 7th. There will be no chairs. There will be no parade.
Don't do that.
That'll be probably quite dull.
Yeah.
Probably just ask you to leave.
Yeah, probably just ask you to leave.
You'd just be meandering around 9th Ave, really. Yeah.
It was weird. I got a text from Cam Moon just shortly. He knew the answer.
Really?
Yeah, weird that he would
That's
know
shocking, because
that.
Yeah, he would have been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so weird. He might have called that, actually. Yeah.
Pleased to be joined by our next guest every Wednesday. He's the Calgary Stampeders head coach, who got a lot of time in his hands.
Big parade guy?
Do you love a parade, Dave Dickinson?
Are we throwing one for you, Boom, since you're shutting her down, or what?
me leaving is called to celebrate for sure, but I don't know if that's necessary. But thank you.
I say it ain't so. I mean, wait till the end of the year at least, so I can have some time to see if I want to do this show anymore.
Ah, come on. You know what?
Come on.
I know. Come on now. I've enjoyed every time that we've had you on. You are consistently one of our best guests, and I'll say this. Football coaches and their time, it's a very valuable thing. We've learned that family, wives, kids, they all take a back seat so that you would spend a half hour with us every Wednesday morning.
That's right. Has
always meant a lot, so thanks for that.
Well, thanks for having me on, but hey, all the best in the future. I deal with Maddie on a consistent basis in here, so we'll see if we'll see who can fill your shoes. Those are big shoes, man. Those are big shoes to fill. Well. Anyway, on to what? What do we got? Parades? Is that what we're on?
You just give everybody the week off, right? You go 3-0, guys. Ordinarily, we'd keep you hanging out. We'd do some, do dry land maybe, but off you go to have the week off. Very nice of you to do that.
It's a weird schedule this year for sure because so obviously we have the week off, but Edmonton doesn't, and we just played them, and that's our next opponent, and. We follow that up with Winnipeg, and then we have another week off, and then we play Winnipeg after the next bye. So it's just, as coaches, honestly, it's probably the easiest schedule as far as preparation. But, I don't really love playing teams back-to-back anyway. And it's nice that they have a game in between so you can watch some film, maybe come up with some new ideas. But, most of the guys are off. Bunch of us did an Athletes in Action golf tournament with Rod Sawatsky on Monday down at Heritage Point. That was nice. And nice. Now we're just going to enjoy the rain and the storms that we usually get around this time.
Yeah, that's right. And I know you were talking about it last week. It feels early to have a bye week, but it's not bad timing for you guys. You did get some bodies back, specifically your running back position going into last game. But you take a week here, it's never bad to get some bumps and bruises taken care of.
I don't mind, I'm with you. Because even in the summer, like you said, a lot of guys still are kind of trying to figure out what's going on, and they need a little time to just kind of settle in. And I'm not loving 2 and 3 weeks, but that's the schedule you got. And right now, you're right, it might help us because our DB back end group for sure is banged up. I don't know if we're going to get anyone back, though. When we got our injuries, we got them pretty serious, but I think Eli Buka would be one that would be close. Maybe Dozier. Probably that's about it. But other than that, like you said, we were happy to go in on a bye with a win because, it is easy to look past and say, we should beat this team. Let's go off and have plans to go to Banff or out to Canmore or something like that. And then ultimately you realize, wow, it's professional football. Everybody's good. So We had a dogfight. It wasn't like we played our best, but I was certainly glad that we were able to finish.
I know you had talked about it before the game and then certainly afterwards, and I know with you it's not lip service. The receivers, long and talented and quick and fast, and your defense did a pretty good job of keeping the Elks in check.
We did. Brant Monson came up with a plan to some different stuff that we hadn't showed. And that's one of the things, you know, when you're early in the year, you can kind of save things for certain opponents. Now, when you play that same opponent four times in the next probably, what is it, eight games, you're probably not going to have a lot to save. So it really will come down to execution and kind of getting after one-on-one matchups. But I thought Brent did a good job. You know, he didn't rush a lot of guys. He did a lot of what we just three-man rush and tried to put extra people in coverage. And the main thing you want to try to do, obviously, is not give up big plays, but you want to create turnovers. And that's the goal of our defense.
I thought it was interesting because, in a way, when Cam Judge makes the pick and then the next play is a touchdown, I said, well, welcome to Calgary, Cam Judge. There is his signature moment. And then you go back, well, he led the team in tackles, I believe, the week before. It's been very quiet that he's been doing things for you positively, obviously, coming through for you. But nice to see him finally make a big play and get that recognition.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of said it since camp. I've been impressed. And I just feel like he's got good sense of football. So he's fast, he can play football and all that. But some guys have, like, that inner sense of where people are. And, you know, linebackers, a lot of them are very good at tackling. Some of them not so good in space as far as coverage. And Cam's the opposite of that. He can tackle, but he can feel guys. Like, he knew that route was coming. The guy kind of went behind him, but he didn't go behind him with any sort of speed. So he thought, you know what, I bet he's going to come back same direction he started. Folded right back under there. Nick kind of tried to put it in a window that wasn't there. And like you said, that was huge. And for us to come and get the lead the next play, they played zone, but we were able to kind of find a window. And that was a great throw by Bo to Malik, who got player of the week, or one of the players of the week, which was awesome to see. And we took the lead, and I felt like the momentum was with us. Great crowd, by the way. The people showed up. Great day, and it was fun atmosphere.
You mentioned the throw. It had to be perfect, and it was one of a few perfect throws that Bo made on the day. There was the one to Begelton. It was kind of right, had to thread it right through Bo. Not to say old Bo, it's very cliche, but those were some, it was pinpoint stuff, and it's impressive to see that he does still have it, and that confidence obviously is going to build.
Yeah, I mean, especially impressive when it was in doubt whether we were going to play him or not. I've got a lot of confidence in Jake as well. But, Bo has been kind of messing with a foot injury, so this bye is probably good for him as well. It's just it's kind of like a little ligament in the top of his foot that's bothering him, and when he pushes off. But he said he felt good, and obviously I could see it, that he was fired up to play, and started off slow again, though. That's something that, for myself, I'm trying to figure out here in the bye week. What can I do to kind of light that fire a little quicker on the guys? Because we were good in preseason. We came out firing, but a regular season's been a different story. So he was excellent. He made some great throws. I thought he moved around really well. And kind of, when you have, three, four throws over 40 yards, that's when, obviously, those chunks are going to help you score points. You expect production when you get those throws.
Coach, wanted to ask you about those first halves, because it was something that even Bo Levi Mitchell mentioned after the win, and he said maybe we're just kind of getting a little bit too dialed into warm-up and not focusing on what that first play is, what that first sequence is going to be for the offense. Do you feel like that might be a part of it, or what are kind of some of the things that you're focusing on as far as these starts?
Well, there are some schools of thought out there, been back to the Bill Walsh eras, and he started things of script in your first 10, script in your first 15, and what you do, you run those plays in practice, and everyone kind of knows similar order what's going to be called. So there are some definitely teams and staffs that do that. I don't do that, mainly because it happened exactly like I thought. You never know what you're going to go against. And Edmonton came out and ran a different style of defense. They played different fronts. They played a different coverage in the back end than we had seen. So, you can script all you want, but until you see what they're actually going to play in, mm-hmm. you might want to call plays that fit what they're doing. So I thought we actually had some good calls and we had some good plays. We just, like you said, in offense, we were offsides. Malik was one offsides and took KJ's 37-yarder. We were going to score on that series. And then the next one, we run a little play we hadn't shown in a long time and dialed it up day three of practice, thought it'd work, and did. He this little, like, called like a fly sweep from on the line of scrimmage, and off he goes. And he might score if he tucks the ball away. He gets it kind of knocked out, and all of a sudden there's a fumble there. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, we're looking up and we're behind again. And Edmonton was actually doing some good things offensively. So if I had an answer for you that I knew, it'd be awesome, but I don't. I think it's just, you're right, focus in on your calls, but also play with your eyes and maybe a little bit more urgency early on, you know, but that's kind of on them as far as that's been self-inflicted wounds. It really has been. And so they have to, you know, find a way to lock in and be ready to go right away from the starting whistle.
You had mentioned Malik Henry as well. Tough first half. He has the fumble. He has a costly penalty. But then in the second, he's catching everything, and they're all going for big gains. He ends up with 173 yards receiving. As you had mentioned, he's a player of the week as well. You got to like how he's responded after that tough first half. A guy who's been with the Stamps for a little while and is really getting I don't want to say a fair share, but a real shot to be a part of this offense.
Yeah, I think we saw his returnability his, when he was returning last year, but we really didn't use him as much in the receiving game. And coming in this year, we still thought it was a battle, and it still is, with Sean Bain on the outside there. But I went a little different direction this week, this past week, because I wanted to add an extra defensive back. So we had an extra defensive back on the roster, which I had to take a receiver off, and that was Sean. So by doing that, Malik was just full-time at his position. And then I didn't really want him to do a bunch of returns, so I didn't want to lose him. So we kind of used Peyton and Jalen Philpott on that. And, you know, maybe that kept him fresher. Maybe that also gave him more opportunities because, you're right, he didn't start off the way he wanted to, but he was able to have enough mental toughness to kind of work through that and overcome it and then make multiple big plays in the second half, the plays that allowed us to win.
And the last one for me, I just wanted to ask you about the debut for Jalen Philpott, your first-round pick in 2022. I know it was frustrating the way that injuries kept him off the field for the first portion of the season, but what did you see in the handful of snaps that he was given?
Well, he kind of bailed us out because Richie Sindani did have an injury in the second quarter, and so we put Jalen in his spot. He looks solid, and, you know, he's good after the catch, too. He did a good job on returns. I think he's just going to get better. I think that's just getting your feet wet type of moment. I think he got reps and he did what he needed to do, but I think he will take advantage of his opportunities when he gets them. So you can tell he wants it. He does work hard. He had a tough camp, though. I mean, he had three plays total. I mean, it was unbelievable how fast he went out. And obviously his thought was he might have overtrained coming in and had a little tweak and then didn't want to say anything, and then ultimately he has more of a major muscle pull. But we've got good receivers. He should fit in. When the ball comes his way, I trust him that he'll snare it, and I really like what he does after he catches it. He's a tough kid that blocks, so that's why we drafted him. He needs to keep stepping it up and keep getting better.
Have you kept track of your record when it comes to challenges?
I have, actually, yeah. It's excellent. Right up there with the tops in the history of the league, I believe.
Is that right? Yeah.
That's your playing coaching record.
That's, yeah, the coaching record's
stellar. That's the record I guess I'm more interested in.
Because I feel like, I don't know what angle, because you throw the challenge flag, it's like, okay, here we go. And again, I mean, I loved watching it because you get fired up, and I love it. So you're pissed off at the officials first for missing the call, and you having to use your challenge, and then you challenge it, and it still doesn't go your way. I just want, like, do you talk to the guys afterwards? Like, what's happening there? Because I found it funny. Nice that you win the football game,
well,
and you can laugh about it afterwards, but I enjoyed it anyway.
I actually, I was frustrated on that. I don't send a lot of clips into the referees. They have a tough job, but I think sometimes if a team has a pattern of a certain, technique or in their defense that I think it should be called. And I felt like Edmonton's DBs were handsy, meaning they were grabbing around the waist and they were impeding our receivers. And so I had made the referee crew aware that I thought this was a pattern, send a little clips in. And ultimately, I got zero calls. And that one there I thought was a call that should have been called. And probably going to be straight up. It was more of the set of tone of to the refs of saying, hey, you missed it. It should have been called. Was there enough to get overturned? Obviously not, because that's the standard. But I watched the BC-Toronto game afterwards, and I saw a call overturned with less than that. And we just try to, you know, do our best. I do my guy in the box, Mark Mueller. He's as frustrated as anybody. But I also, that's my decision that I can throw it or not throw it. I mean, in the first half, we had one in the end zone that was kind of a hand-fighting thing. Kenny Lawler went down. You know, our defensive coach wants me to throw it there. I thought, well, it's just maybe not enough. Let's wait for one I think I can win on a little bit more. And that obviously didn't materialize. But got to get better at it. I got to find a way to somehow feel like I can sense what the referees are going to overturn or not, and hopefully win a couple of these.
What do you call that? The like, is it your game sheet? Whatever you got in your hand there. I love when you give them the you waved them off after you you made the challenge.
We're done here.
It's like you, Dave, clearly knows he's going to win this challenge. This is one of those I can't believe that I have to waste my challenge when you should be doing your job, and the call in the field stands. Damn it! I laughed, no, man. I laughed. So
I thought
hard.
He missed it. I thought they missed it, and I still believe that. But as far as for sure, some. You know, like I do think sometimes you got to do make a point, too, of saying, hey, that you missed that call. But, you know, unfortunately, and I don't hate this, that our league is usually you have to have massive evidence to overturn a call. But, you know, it just had one of those things where it had a feel to 6-0. I felt it was a good call. We had the one-on-one. It was Malik again. You know, I could stop the film and show you that the guy had arms around him. But was it enough to overturn? Obviously not. So, but I was hoping that it would kind of get things started, that we could get some of those type of calls later on. Didn't work as well. So starting to probably become a little bit of a punchline there, a Dickinson challenge and lose. That certainly needs to change. And I got to find the right recipe, man. I got to find the right recipe to get a win or two in that category.
Well, I won't bring it up anymore. How about that? Is that a deal?
Well, you can text me if you want. Yeah,
that's
we won't
right.
be doing it on the phone. But
hey, you're due. Don't be deterred. Just keep tossing it. I like it. Tremaine Washington. I know you had kind of talked about the guy comes in. Obviously, had a great year last year, and it's like, yeah, what you did last year was last year. This year is this year. It's a different team, but it looks like he's settled in nicely for you.
Yeah, he competes. That's his main thing. And we noticed that when we played him last year is he competes. He's not a big guy. He's about 5'8". We've got a lot of smaller DBs in our secondary, but they're just, you know, they're ball hawks and they compete. And I felt like he did a pretty good job for his first game. So he'll keep competing to see if he stays in that lineup. We'll see how it plays out after the bye, if Trey Roberson can come back. You know, I do think Moxie has versatility that can play multiple positions, but he's kind of at home at the corner. So the halfbacks are available, and Tremaine had a good game.
And I haven't asked you about them maybe all season, and it's a good time to go there because I thought they were good in this game. Your offensive line, the play, the carry touchdown, just was able to stroll right in. Bo with the bad foot needs a little bit of extra time. For the most part, he had the time that he needed. The big guys, McHugh and Sevier, everybody up front, strong game.
Yeah, you know what, and I think consistently they've been playing well as a group of five, and what I mean by that is I don't think one guy is, like, standing out and doing everything better than the other guys. I think there are room for improvement in all five, but I do like what we're doing, especially because there's a ton of movement and some stuff we weren't expecting from this last game, and they were still able to move people. And we're best, like you said, with Kadeem. We can get him between 15 and 20 touches is perfect. You know, maybe get the backup another 3 to 5. I like that type of number. I think it allows defenses to understand we're going to be a physical group and we're going to try to run downhill on them, but yet it does keep the quarterback in rhythm. And usually we have our bigger chunk plays through the passing game. But I think, like I said, I think Ryan Sevier is the one probably that's upped his game the most. And, you know, I'm still looking for Derek played better. You know, Julian Good-Jones, I think, can be dominating. Zach Williams, to me, has all the skill. He just needs to trust his eyes. And Sean is kind of our brains and our rock in the middle. And he had a big challenge this week, Sean, because they kept lining up, you know, Jamin Pelly, who's 380 pounds, and Mac Henry, who's just a bull, right over the top of him. And basically, they just said, push this man backwards into Bo. And I thought Sean did a good job of holding up. So that group, I thought, obviously has been a leadership group for us all year, and they continue to do that last week.
380 pounds. There's no way we that have not played pro football can appreciate what that is, right?
I can't appreciate that either. I mean, I don't know. Like, and it's lean. It's got momentum coming at you. I mean, so, and I might be generous. It might be more. You know, I'm not sure. But Jamin is local guy, and we liked him as a player as well. And we know once he gets, you know, gets moving, it's tough to stop him.
And we got to see a little Tommy Stevens. He got kind of tripped up in, what was it, week one or week two. So how could he? Didn't look that great. But faith in him, some short yardage. I wonder, do you incorporate him maybe a little bit more on some gadget-type stuff, potentially?
So now you're looking for me to give you my gadget plays.
Well, I just, you know, guy looks good. It's all, you know.
Jeez.
It is bye week.
I mean, yeah, he, you know what, we needed it too, and I do have a lot of faith in him. At times, like you said, I feel like, you know, like Jake did a good job for us last year, and we did some other things too. But Tommy's, like I just said with Jamin, Tommy's 240 pounds, big man who, you know, is confident in those situations. And we haven't had that for a while. You know, we probably haven't had that ever for my, yeah, Andrew Buckley was a good short yardage quarterback because he had good getting on the edge. And but you talk about a guy that can just straight and ram it up in there and get that extra yard and a half. You're probably going back to like Messam type, and that's our tailback. So Tommy's doing a great job. He's available, like, to do more. We'll see what we can do. But I also like his package and how he's executing that short yardage game, and we needed it. That ultimately gave us the win late in this game.
Dave, appreciate you. Have always felt like you're a tremendous ambassador for our city, for that team. Love watching you on the sidelines, and you're just one of the best ever to do it in the Canadian Football League at quarterback and now at coach. Always appreciate your time. Like I say, I know football players and certainly coaches are pretty stingy with their time, and you've always been great with us.
Well, best of luck for whatever you decide is next on your path to boom, and stay in touch.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll run into each other.
See, because I don't know. I was thinking, what could if I got when I get Dave on Wednesday? Like, sticking stickers on helmets, or is it, you got anything over
Geo's
assistant?
Yeah,
well, we could find something here. Yeah. You know, you're pretty knowledgeable on trick plays.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe you can come design some stuff for me.
Yeah, I'll set it up for you. No worries. Be good, David. Good luck the rest of the season. We'll see you soon.
All right. All the best to you guys. Catch you later.
You bet.
Take
Dave
care.
Dickinson.
Yeah,
you bet. Head coach of the Stamps. Bye week. And then, yeah, the schedule, you know, it's CFLE.
Mm.
It's not about, don't worry about it.
Mm.
It is what it is.
Mm.
So off this week.
Uh-huh.
Then into Edmonton.
Yeah.
And then into Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Then off.
Yeah.
And then home to Winnipeg.
Uh-huh.
Out to Ottawa.
Uh-huh.
Home to BC.
Uh-huh.
You know, back to Toronto. It's whatever. There's only so many teams, Matt.
So you get two byes in a span of 4 weeks, which they're doing right now.
Right.
And then the distance between byes 2 and 3 will be weeks 7 and 18. So a good 11 weeks between your second and third bye.
It feels like
it's well weighted. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
No.
It feels like maybe bad planning on
schedule
makers.
100%.
Behalf.
Yep.
And the thing is, it's not like you have a lot of building availability conflicts, I don't think. Is there...
you were doing a lot at McMahon these days.
Like, are the Wiggles playing at BMO Field in Toronto? Is there some kind of a... Taylor Swift going into Winnipeg?
Playing IG. I don't know if that's
a
bill.
I don't know if that's happening.
I don't think...
And you can move it a day.
And
right?
Garth Brooks up in Cole. Yeah, and it's the CFL,
they'll play Thursday, Friday,
Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. Doesn't matter. Not Wednesday. That's too early.
Well, I'll let them figure it out. Coming up on the show, hour number two, bit of a change of plan. So we got
Sad.
A little bit... it's okay. It's all right. It just creates a little bit more time. For some other things.
For goofing.
Colby Armstrong, Sportsnet. I believe he's doing stuff in Pittsburgh on the Penguins broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a multi-talented guy. I think that he's starting to use him more. But I think he's always been such a good interview and talker. And he's got such a personality and a sense of humor. Looking forward to getting into it with him. Haven't visited with him in a long time, and we'll do that when we come back here in hour number two, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Red Sox and Blue Jays on your radio, 5 o'clock this afternoon, 5:05, somewhere in there.
Or 7.
Yeah, for 5, yeah, whatever.
Oh, 7:05.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, 8.
Yeah. Wow.
Slackers.
Want to keep to the clock, why don't you?
Is it the anthem singer? Is that who we blame?
Stretching
I think
it.
Gosman was having trouble with the balls, actually.
Oh,
he was
well.
Trying to find one that he wanted.
No, I gotcha.
Been there.
So am I led to believe that the Memorial Cup is going to be awarded tonight?
Yeah, all signs point to it being awarded tonight.
Well, what do you do but get
my,
a...
My sources say.
Get a Memorial Cup champion on board. We were talking about it earlier. It was the subject of our trivia question for the pack of tickets for the big seats over at the Calgary Stampede Parade. The question was, who scored the overtime winner for the Red Deer Rebels in their Memorial Cup championship? Colby Armstrong, would you have any idea who scored that overtime winner that day?
Yeah, I do. Thanks for having me on, you guys. And Boomer, thank you. I saw the news. Honored to be on with you this week. You're the best.
Good
love
to talk
you.
To
I'm
you.
Sure a lot of people feel the same way. But I will say, I know who it hit. I've studied it several times because we had two guys claiming it. But I'm pretty sure it was Doug Lynch that got it. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, who really cares? I mean, I'm just glad we won it. We had a good team. And since then, I don't know how long it's been since a Western Hockey League team has kind of made some kind of noise in the Memorial Cup. I know I covered it for a few years, and I was up hard on the Western Hockey League train. And I mean, they couldn't seem to find a win even in the tournament. So, yeah, it was a great moment. Something I still hang my hat on, of course, through my hockey career, I guess. And as one of the best moments of my career.
The thing about the Memorial Cup is, and it's the crown jewel of junior hockey, but it's so much more difficult just to get there. And I know it maybe sounds like a cop out sometimes, but when guys say, "Yeah, we didn't win the Memorial Cup," but to get that WHL championship, when the grueling schedule and the beating that you take, Memorial Cup's nice, but really that league championship is really the one to be proud of, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I think at the end of the year, that year, I think I figured out that I played almost like 100 and some games, including preseason games. So with the schedule, the travel, especially out west, it's so much more demanding. And, you know, really it's like you're in the America. It's really comparable, to the American Hockey League in a sense, just because of the travel and the way your season's kind of, you know, set up and the amount of games you play maybe on weekends and different things. So it's an NHL schedule with minor league travel. And it is a grueling thing. So you're at a young age, you're 16 to 20 and you're learning really how to play in the NHL at that age, or if you have a chance to go play pro and what it's going to be like. So everything kind of mimics that. It's all piled into one and it's all while you're really trying to get your feet wet in life. But the Memorial Cup, though, is unbelievable, too. Like, what I've been able to experience, because, you know, you play in it, you're kind of sheltered from what the actual experience really is.
Yeah.
And these cities, these towns, the volunteers, the parties, the restaurants, the live music, it's like what goes into it in those cities and in those areas. Whoever gets to host it, they do an unbelievable job. Like, I recommend going to it. Like, it's like that in World Championships, if you're a hockey fan. You want to experience a real fun party and a real fun tournament at the same time with good hockey. Those two are always, I always recommend to go to it. But I have my wife trained, hey? I have my wife trained. She's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And she didn't know anything about the Memorial Cup, but I have her trained. And anytime it comes up about Memorial Cup, she always goes, you know, it's the hardest trophy to win in all of sports. And I got her trained on that one, at least to jump in with that line. So
that's
I don't
good.
Have to say it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is it really? Oh, yeah, it's the hard. Well, yeah, well done. That's good work by you. Good work by you, indeed, for sure. So I saw some of the stuff on Sportsnet. You're interviewing the draft eligible guys. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's like Dazed and Confused. I keep getting older, and they stay the same age. Right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that Slafkovský guy, he's going to go, like, I think he's, you know, he's ranked fairly high.
Oh, yeah.
Big fella, and it's so funny. He has braces. I'm like, I'm going to get drafted with braces on. I'm like, what's going on? So it's, yeah, you know, time flies. It's kind of wild. I got drafted in 2001. These kids are born in, I think, 2003, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So it's pretty wild. I actually, while I was doing some of those upper deck interviews, I had the combine in Buffalo. I drove up there and I skipped my kid out of school so he could come, and I snuck him in there with me so he could meet all these guys. And my kid's 12, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like getting pretty close to these guys' ages, but he was thrilled. And we're living in Pittsburgh here now post career. And of course, Logan Cooley is a big name out around this area and with the United States Development Program. And I think he's committed to go somewhere in Minnesota to college. So he was kind of speechless and getting to talk to him and meet him. And he's kind of like a local guy that I think a lot of people are excited about around this area.
You were a first rounder. What do you remember about your day at the draft?
Oh, man, I remember before I left, I think I went to some brutal shirt and tie store so my mom could outfit me with a shirt and tie so I look cool. I think I had a red shirt on, like a burgundy red shirt with like a kind of cool tie with a black suit.
Yeah.
And I just remember unknowing what to expect and sitting in the stands and seeing guys that I recognize either from the prospects game when I played in it or guys I didn't see that, you know, you just see in the hockey news, right? On the back, the junior section, draft eligible guys, and you kind of get the scoop on what they look like. And they're still sitting with their parents. So I remember sitting there thinking, oh man, this is cool seeing all these different guys and different players that you'd only seen. And Wayne Gretzky's down on the floor and all the people that you've only seen on TV that are associated with the NHL. And then the whirlwind of getting drafted, going up on stage. I don't really remember much of that. And then it was like interview, 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 headshots, pictures, interview, interview. So you finally are kind of out of there to be with your family. So it's quite the experience. It's quite the day. And I think it'll be quite the show since it's being in Montreal this year. The kids will, you know, have a really great experience with that.
Janica Colby Armstrong at Armdog on Twitter, our guest. I always love getting Colby on here. Now, I know the other night Nate MacKinnon said he was the drunkest guy at Sid's cup parties, and now he expects Sid to be the drunkest at his. There's no chance Sid's getting hammered up for his party, is there?
No, I don't think so. I think you're really going to have to push him, or you're going to have to strap me to his hip so I can get him going. Like, that's what I got going pretty good at his party too. Like Nate was giving her though. He's a great time. He's a fun personality, awesome guy to hang out with. And, you know, he definitely, I think Sid owes him one for sure. I think he's right. I'm glad he called him out on national TV for that. But it's kind of funny. I believe during Sid's back-to-back cup parties, I was there and I think Nate was building a house like literally either next door or two doors down from him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of their setup where they're at. So it won't be too hard for Sid to find his way home after the party. Let's put it that way. It's actually a pretty good setup if you're going to be giving her at the cup party. So I give Nate credit too, because with all the, you know, the Stanley, like Sid has every damn award there, right? Like he's, you know, he was got it all. So all the trophies are there. Like he has the Conn Smythe because he gets all those awards, you know, the conference championship, the Stanley Cup, and, you know, Nate stayed well away from it. He knew he was hungry for it. So awesome performance. It was only a matter of time, I think, with that team. But I would love to get an invite to that party just to see it, just to see Sid if he's going to step up. I would like to see. I'm calling Sid. Sid, step up, buddy. You got to go.
Yeah. Do you have a plus one, Sid? Because, you know, if you're looking,
yeah,
your boy.
You need a running mate.
That's right.
I'm a sick wingman, Sid. Yeah. Here it is. That's the pitch. I'm a sick wingman. I might go golfing with him today, actually. Little name drop. I might go. Yeah, he gave me the. I'm doing on-ice sessions right now with some younger kids here. So I have one more, depending on the time, I can get out and go golfing with him today. So I'll be poking at him for the plus one.
I like that. So is he any good at golf?
I think he's good, yeah. I suck. I have a worse – I used to – I'm really bad, but now I have this snap hook that I've took on.
It's
a wild thing. I can't hit off the tee anymore this year since I've golfed. It's like a craziest thing. I'm snap hooking everything. I'm brutal, so – I hope I can hang in there, but I think he's pretty good. I think he's pretty good at golf. Surprise,
yeah,
right?
Shocking.
Yeah.
Just another thing that he'd be good at. Maybe you're just not having enough pregame beverages. You're too tight. You just got to loosen up.
I need some aiming juice, some swing juice, snap hook juice. Yeah. I got to have it all, yeah.
Get it all in there. You know, I was going to ask you, I guess, with that in mind, Nathan MacKinnon has been a superstar for years, and we knew that. What kind of pressure do you think was on him in a way? Maybe he puts it on himself or people around him. That same town, Sydney goes one, he goes number one. Those are impossible shoes to fill. But it just seems that we heard about his diet changing, his workout habits, how he started to take things a lot more seriously. That's got to be Sid influenced, right?
I think so, yeah. I think a lot of that is just the mentorship of having him around. You know, Sid is so focused and dialed in and like so aware and particular about how he does things, whether it's on ice or off ice, like around the rink or just around, his fitness and training and diet. So he's committed. He's all in, total sacrifice to be the best and to stay where he's at, you know, and still be, you know, as you age, still being able to take care of yourself and, endure a big season and playoffs and what that kind of takes to be at the top of your game. And I think it's been nothing but great for Nate. I mean, it's hard to do. Not a lot of guys can do it. And I've watched a lot of documentaries or different books on guys that are elite. And, you know, Jerry Rice, for example, talks about, you know, guys saying they're going to give 110%, but he says the guys aren't really willing to do that. And he was, and that's what, you know, put him over the top with everything that he did. So Sid's in that category of guys that are willing to do that. When you're a young guy and you can grow up and be around a guy like Sid all the time and the luxury of, you know, being from the same place and being able to spend all that time with him, I think it's nothing but good for Nate MacKinnon. I think it was just a matter of time. You know, you look at their team too in Colorado, what they built with draft picks and, you know, the skill and unbelievable players and depth that they had. And then some of the moves that they made, I think, you know, solidified it. But when you have leadership like Landeskog, MacKinnon, some of these other guys in there, Rantanen, Johnson, some guys that are hungry and have, you know, been high picks and have the pressure. And then you get that hunger around you. It just takes it to another level. And I think that's what that core group really did there. And it was kind of inevitable when you look at their team where it was building towards for them to get to that moment of what they did the other night. So amazing to see so many guys to win the cup for the first time, right, on that team.
Yeah.
And Kadri and some of the stuff guys have gone through and injuries. And, it was nice to see a lot of those guys, everything kind of pay off for what was kind of planned out for a long time, kind of in the stars for that group.
And it just seemed like, just your thoughts on the final, it seemed like Tampa Bay just wrung everything out that they could, every last drop. Guys were beat up, they were battered, they were exhausted. They did their very best, but they just had nothing left. It was a slugfest, the final.
It was, and what a resilient team this Tampa Bay team is. And, ability to, I think, kind of chameleon their way into a series, too. Like, drop the first couple games and then go, okay, they tweak a few things. They kind of figure out a way to worm around you. And it takes a little while for them to get under your skin, and then once they're in there, they just start to kind of pick away at you. And I got to hand it to them. I love watching them. I love the emergence of, you know, what certain players can do or have done, you know, from whether it's block and shot, leadership, craziness, to Sergachev, you know, these big body puck movers that can contribute at both ends of the ice on the back end. Vasilevsky has wowed us now for several years and massive runs, unbelievable showings. And I just love the leadership of Stamkos. Like, it sounds crazy to say this, but you've got to put them up there in a category, one with winning, but just where his game's at, ability to produce and score, leadership, winning faceoff, block shots, both ends of the ice. It's crazy to say, because I grew up watching these guys, but it's like Sakic, Yzerman, like you can go down the list of guys that you can probably compare Stamkos to in his era and what he's been able to do here the last several years of being an all-around player with like total leadership qualities and command of his team. It's been unbelievable to watch, because I played world championships with him when he was like 18 years old.
Sure, yeah.
And to see him where he is now, it's just incredible. Like the man and the player that he is and the leader that he is, unbelievable. It's been unbelievable to watch.
You're in Pittsburgh, as you said, you're doing work there. You're living there. You're covering the team. Is Evgeny Malkin really going to go and play somewhere else? Like, is that going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it right now. Like, I haven't heard a single peep out of here about this. Like, you know, Malkin and Letang, right? Letang and Malkin. So the three-headed monster is in jeopardy. This could have been their last little playoff cook, and, you know, they got bunted out in the first round. But I don't know, you know, new ownership here. You know, you've got, you know, Ron Hextall's looking to, they kept their first-round pick. They will draft 21st overall as of now. Who knows what will happen at the draft, but... yeah, it's looking pretty quiet, you know, on the Malkin Letang front right now of where it's at. And there was rumblings that, you know, there was contract talks during the season that were underwhelming for the players on the money side and what, you know, what was offered to them. I mean, of course, right now it's a speculation a little bit or rumor, but, it's looking like we could see a different Penguins team moving forward. And, it's pretty crazy to see what a run it's been with those three, here in Pittsburgh. But it's kind of crazy to think, like, you know, 1-2 Sid Malkin up front, that we may not see that again here. And, you know, and over the years of what it's been like to want to play against them and the matchup nightmare that they've been and kind of the playoff runs that they've been able to have and put together two elite star players in the league. And, you know, what this Penguins lineup will look like moving forward is a question mark.
Yeah. I think it's easy for fans to just kind of assume that when you see your favorite hockey team or you see a team that everybody's best buddies and they all hang out, and it's just not the case. It's like any workplace. You're cordial with some people, you're good friends and go out for beers with others. What's their relationship like for Evgeny and Sidney?
Yeah, I think it's close. I mean, we heard Evgeny also talk, you know, about his contract and where it's going to go during the season. And for me, I think he's one of the best interviews in the league. He's like the most electric guy when he's getting interviewed. It's unbelievable. But he said, you know what, I'm a rich guy. I'm a pretty rich guy. Those are the exact words that he started laughing when he was talking about his money and the situation and what he would take to maybe stay here. And I would say their relationship is great. Like, I think they know that they need each other in a sense to be dangerous and to win. I think they have a lot of respect for each other's game, and I think they're like brothers. Really, honestly, they're like brothers with the team, and you know, in their personal lives. So I don't know if they hang out every day all the time, like drink or what it is. I just know that them together is, and they both will openly talk about what each player means to them and to their careers and how they've made it work to keep both of them together and, you know, at good price points to be able to build teams around them as well. And kind of that sacrifice together to get it done together. So yeah, they've been through a lot together. They're brothers, they're teammates, they're friends, they're best buddies. They've been around a long time. So it's been fun watching those two superpowers, I guess, work together in the same environment and kind of share that together and be just as happy for each other when things go good for, you know, personally for each guy. So yeah, they're both, I think Gino's a little bit lighter personality, like joke wise. Sid loves to laugh. Don't get me wrong. He loves to laugh. Gino's just got this like real funny personality. He's really great. And I wish we got to see more of his interviews because he's got a great personality, a fun, real fun guy to be around and fun teammate. He's not afraid to take a shot at guys on the team and stuff, and he does it in a really good way.
So do the guys, do Biz and Wit give you a piece of the pie, the Pink Whitney a percentage? Because you're money every time. And I know it hasn't been a ton, but you were on there, what, a month or so ago?
Yeah.
And it was just a monster. You're so good in that setting. And that damn podcast was so good. I just wondered, you know, maybe 1%?
Yeah, I know. I could use a little bit of that. That'd be nice. I'm going to have to make up my own booze and kind of pitch it to them. Maybe they can get it going. You know how they work the internet so well, of course. But I'm happy for those guys. They've done a great job. And I think they kind of, you know, this year was so big for them. I think they kind of took over the hockey world with Spit and Chicklets and the way they started going. And they're at the final. Of course, Biz being on TNT, I think, pushed it to new heights. So amazing to see during the Battle of Alberta, Whitney shaving his head with everyone around, Chassie shave his head and everything, and what that became and what the Battle of Alberta meant, not only to their podcast, I think, in the regard of that bet that they made, but just kind of how the Battle of Alberta just kind of took over in the playoffs there. When was that? The second round.
That's
and,
right, yeah.
You know, made it so interesting and fun and kind of the hoopla around it. So I could go for more than 1%, though, boys. I drive a hard bargain.
Yeah.
If I can get this nose in there, never know the way she works. This thing is unpredictable. This nose, she's unpredictable.
Yeah, that's right. People don't appreciate how friggin' hard Biz works and truly how good he is.
Oh, my God.
It was a few years ago we had him on the show and just kind of like, so yeah. What do you want to do? Because you're on Twitter and you got a million followers at the time. He's like, I don't know. I maybe want to act, maybe do a game show or whatever. He's in a perfect spot because he's kind of doing everything. Those commercials he did a few years ago for the work gloves or whatever it was.
Oh my
so
God.
So damn funny.
Unbelievable.
Right. And some of the stuff he does with the Coyotes is brilliant. And then you see him on there.
Yep.
He's the star of that. Gretzky defers to him for the entertainment value. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to see him sit next to Gretzky on that one end of the table and to watch, like, just to look at it. Like, if you just look at it, you're like, what the hell is this, right?
Yeah.
But he was entertaining. He was fun. I think his personality is awesome for hockey. I think you're right. I think he's super hardworking and smart in regards to, you know, what he does and where he goes and how he does it as well. So, he's kind of just picking up steam. He got on that national TV job and it's kind of elevated everything for him and even more so. But you're right. Like he's at one end of the country. He's at the other. He's on other people's podcasts, helping people out. He's doing tons of other things from, you know, trade deadline day on with us at Sportsnet to everything. So a man can wear many hats and he hustles his butt off and he's made it work really well for what he's doing. So I'm pretty happy for those guys. You know, I started in the minors with both those guys.
Yeah.
And Biz Nasty was wearing track suits out to the bar. I go, what the hell are you doing, bud? He goes, it's a tracksuito. It's a tracksuito. I was going, holy crap. So he's come a long way and he's made it work. He's doing real well. And he was really the first guy that started any hockey guys putting content out on the internet and, you know, running Twitter or whatever kind of social platform he was at the time and making it work. So a credit to him for leveraging it to where he's at right now.
Well, I'm happy to see you getting used more. I've been saying it for years, TV, radio, whatever it is, you're underused and not to say you're undervalued. I think people do appreciate how good a job you do. You were going to be on Battle of the Blades. So I love seeing that you're getting more involved.
Oh,
I missed you by 1 year in Red Deer. I got there in the summer to fall of 2002. You had just wrapped it up and it was one of those things like, damn, I would have liked to have had some time with the Arm Dogs. So you've always been one of my favorites. Thanks for coming on, and
Thank you.
I'm happy for you.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Yeah, and got to interview some players this year and do some digital stuff and some features, which is really cool. But I appreciate that. Would have been nice to work with you, absolutely, in Red Deer. But congrats on everything and what you've done in media and sports, Boomer, and good luck. And whatever's coming next, but I know everyone appreciates and appreciates everything you've given them in the terms of in the ways of entertainment and sports talk. So appreciate it.
Thanks, Colby. That's that very nice of you to say. And I did miss you, but Mooner has plenty of stories, so I've caught all
the old. Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's better kept that way. You
Mooner,
bet.
Mooner said he ran India. You're both in the show.
I did.
What's going on? This is great.
Holy crap! I know. I met up with him. I hung out with him, and it's great to see him. He's such a great guy, and has totally, you know, grinded his way into his dream job of being in his hometown and calling Oiler games and Connor McDavid moments. It couldn't happen to a better guy. Good Red Deer alumni, and always salt of the earth and funny stories. I could go on and on about Mooner and some of the times we've had together and on bus rides and everything, but. Yeah, you're right. I'm proud of him too. I'm real happy for him. And you know what? It's funny. I get in the car after I do a Penguins game. We got the NHL Sirius radio.
Yeah.
And I turn it on and sometimes they have games on and there's Mooner calling an Oilers game. It's unbelievable. Listen to him on my drive home after I get out of the studio on the late game.
I know.
So great to hear.
I couldn't believe it's like there's Mooner calling Connor McDavid goals. Like what the hell is going on?
Isn't that great?
It's awesome. Yeah. So awesome. Good luck getting that +1 to the cup party with Sid.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah,
let
us know.
I'll keep you posted if I can grind it out of them.
Yeah, good luck, man. Good to talk to you. Be well.
All right.
See ya.
All right, appreciate it. See you guys.
You bet. Colby Armstrong, great guy. And truly, if you haven't, this is me pumping the tires for a podcast. If you didn't hear the Spit and Chicklets from about, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, because he's on with Biz and Wit, and I don't know, it's 2 hours. It's so great. the stories, they just flow, and it's natural, and it's so good. And I've said it for years. We would have conversations here before the start of every hockey season. Well, what about freelancers? Who do we want to get on? Is there anybody?
Yep.
And no disrespect to anybody else. It was always, well, what about, I'd like Colby Armstrong. Because they'd run down the names of the people in Toronto, and I don't need to, but Colby, any chance of getting Colby Armstrong? Because I just knew he'd be a great fit for the show, and people mm-hmm. love him and appreciate him. He played in Red Deer, he's from the Prairies, but he's one of those guys that has the career to back it up. And, I mean, that relationship with Sid, because Sid loved him.
Oh, yeah.
And his ability to just riff and make it look and sound easy. I'm happy for him. He deserves all of that.
The infectious personality that just makes everyone feel comfortable.
We'll break here. I had said earlier, and I think we're probably ready, but I don't like making this about me, but I do want to share some of the stuff. I went through some of the archives, and I wasn't going to do it, but I've appreciated, I guess, what 15 years at this place means, not just to me, but to some people who have been along for the ride. One of my, if not my favorite guest that would come on the show will join us next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.